All right, guys, so today is the day that we finally break ground and start building our doomsday bunker. We will also be sharing a low-cost solution that allows you to turn any basement into a formidable fallout shelter. So let's get to it.
Time has finally come to get a bunker put in the ground. We're here on the property. You're the expert. Tell me about where I should be putting this bunker and why.
Well, you've got, 100 something acres here. So you've got to think about when you put in a bunker, do you want to hide the bunker or do you want to have access to the bunker from the house? Because a lot of people have this fantasy about getting up, going to a wall, a bookshelf opens magically, you walk in, you go down the stairs, and you're in your bunker. Because then you're using it as a daily bunker. You're going down there, your kids are partying in it, they're spending the night. Matter of fact, some of them will move into the bunker. Or you're thinking about World War III, you're worried about losing the house or the barn, dominium, or wherever you're staying, and you're like, we gotta get out, we're gonna go hang out in the bunker, and we're gonna take the house back when we get the chance, but they're not gonna know that we're out in the woods in a bunker, because if you do it right, we'll put the bunker in over there and give it about 2 years and all the trees will come back. I mean, and you won't even notice, like, there's a bunker. Yeah, there'll be that much brush. So do you want to bug out or do you want to bug in near the house with the bunker?
You make compelling arguments for both. Put it near the house. It's more practical. You can use it every day. Put it far away. It's good for World War III. And if I got to fight a group of marauders off, I can have a fallback location.
So if you're going to want the recreational value out of the bunker, as most people do, because then you could turn it to a wine cellar, a gun room, a mother-in-law suite, or just a party room for the kids.
Put the mother-in-law down there and shut the door.
Well, you could actually put the wife if you really want to get technical.
Yeah.
But, you know, the recreational value of the bunkers, from what I've seen from the people that I visit after I've done their bunkers, these guys have large ranches and a lot of money, and they're like living in their bunkers. For some reason, you know, when you're in a bunker, you feel like you're wearing a Superman cape. When you're down there and you have all this earth and these doors and these air systems, you feel invincible at that moment.
Bradley Garrett, the author of the book Bunker, who interviewed you, he said that he had the best sleep of his life when he slept in a bunker for the first time. So how do I get somebody out here who, I don't know who they are, they don't live around here? If you want to do this incognito, what's the easiest way to organize it?
We're going to fly in 3 men from Texas. We're going to rent an excavator, okay? We're going to do everything ourselves. The only thing we have to use a local source for is when we put the bunker, we got to get a crane. And one guy on a crane is going to have to come out here, set up, pick up the bunker and drop it in. The guy who delivers the bunker, the truckers, they don't care. I mean, we never use the same trucker twice. He shows up here, boom, he unloads it, he's gone. He doesn't care. But bunkers are becoming so common that it's not that strange to have one anymore. It's just the world we live in.
So why do you think the elites are taking this preparedness thing so seriously right now?
You know, we live in a messed up world, okay? When I started Atlas Survival Shelters back in 2011, and I would sell a bunker, a man and a woman would come in, and the wife would think the husband was crazy, or the husband thought the wife was crazy. But about 6 years ago, it ended, and they come in together, and they're both eager to get a bunker for themselves. They literally feel that in their lifetime, or their kid's lifetime, or if not within the next year, they may need this shelter because America could fall into some sort of revolutionary war or civil war. And when that happens, other countries that are dependent upon America to help them if they're attacked by a bigger neighbor, they know America can't come. So you would see China take Taiwan. You would see Russia take the Balkan states. You would see North Korea attack South Korea. You would see India, Pakistan go into war. You would see all kinds of wars. And it's like, ask yourself, who's going to come help America when we have our big war? Nobody's going to come. It's going to be us. So people want to take care of themselves. They're not going to count on the government. They want to get a bunker. They want to buy some land. And they want to go out there and put a bunker in on that property. And they want to bug out to that property. Kind of like the same thing that you have in mind doing. When you're picking out your bunker...
You're not going to give me a free bunker, are you?
I'm not going to give anybody a free bunker, but...
Come on, all this free publicity? Guys, go and troll Ron and make sure that he gives Canadian Prepper a free bunker. I've earned this.
All right, he'll get a big deal on a bunker, but... So, a bunker can be a single cabin. That's kind of like just like walking in a shipping container or something. Okay, it could be a single room with nothing in it, no plumbing, and basically you just go in there and you have a barrel of water and you have a portable toilet and you got some bunk beds. Or you can walk into the bunker and you've got a master bedroom, you've got a guest bedroom, you got a private gun room, full bathroom, kitchen, living room, a long hallway that leads through a corridor with all these submarine doors. It looks like you're in a ship with generator rooms off to the side.
I try to make every bunker that I build feel at home. You don't want to be locked in a county jail. It's claustrophobic. You don't want to be in there. So I've always tried to remove that feel out of the Atlas Survival Shelters. Now, I do have some bunkers that can feel that way. But for the most part, I'm known for making the shelters that feel like an integral part of your house. It just feels like an extension. So we're putting in 8-foot ceilings, we're putting in granite kitchen counters, beautiful bathrooms, walk-in showers, regular doors or sliding barn doors. I mean, all the things that you would find in today's new house are actually in the Platinum series from Atlas Survival Shelters.
We have a relatively higher water table here. So how am I going to manage the water? Do I need a watertight? Is this a place, because it can be swampy?
When you're picking out the land for your bunker, the first thing is the enemy to all bunkers is water. The average bunker is not made to go underwater. So if you put it on a place where it's going to flood, the bunker's going to fill with water and you're going to lose all the contents. The bunker could be pumped back out and things could be done to it. It could be refurbished. But the walls are made of hardy board, which is concrete. The floors are made of composite plastic. The counters are made of granite. The bunker's made of steel. It's got 150-year tar coating after we sandblast it. So the bunkers that I'm making today will be here in the year 2200. Okay? That's the intention. If you don't know what's in the ground, I always suggest that you have a watertight bunker. And all my bunkers are guaranteed for life to be watertight. But the way we weld them, we've got like 3 layers of weld on the outside and 1 layer of weld on the inside, or 1 pass of weld on the inside. It took some engineering and some patents to get it to where we could weld them. And I can guarantee them for life, they will never leak.
Well, I think that's what we're going to have to go for here, because like I say, the water table can fluctuate. I think it's around 5-6 feet.
Look, if they can put a basement in here and keep it dry enough to do the basement, we can get the bunker. And the difference is your basement's, what, 9 feet deep? The bunker's going to be 17 feet deep. But when you go down that bunker in the winter, it's 40 below zero. Inside that bunker, it's going to be 52 degrees Fahrenheit. Doesn't matter how cold it is outside. We're also going to get you an air system that has a heater on it, because it's so cold. You don't want to be pulling cold air to when you have refreshed air. So the Swiss air systems have heaters on them if you order them that way.
So what sort of power does that make? Well, electricity?
Most bunkers run on batteries. It's what recharges those batteries, either a diesel generator, above ground propane generator, wind, or solar panels. They got to be autonomous. They got to be able to survive the end of the world. And of course, none of us want that to happen. But I sleep at night because I know the bunkers I'm making are the best that I can do with today's technology. Okay, so let's say you can't afford even a $20,000 bomb shelter, but you have an apartment and you're on the 50th floor. You're like, well, I can't do a bomb shelter. I live in an apartment. In a country like Israel, where they build 50,000 apartments a year, this is the air system that is mandatory. The entire country of Israel is counting on what's in this box to keep them alive if they are ever attacked with nukes from a country like Iran.
All right, so how exactly does this air filtration system work?
Okay.
Explain it to me like I'm 5 years old.
This looks like a mini split. Encased in this entire plastic box right here is an NBC air filtration system, okay? Now, this air system, 50,000 of these a year are installed in Israel. Every single apartment has one of these little air systems inside it to protect them from nuclear, biological, and chemical agents that could be thrown at them from any enemy that they may have. So, in case of a disaster comes,
They can take this case, they would take it off, and rather than take it off, I've already put all the pieces on the table. They will have mounted to the wall inside the unit this right here. This is actually a HEPA filter with a overpressure blast valve. So typically, the rooms that these go on are made of concrete, so the rooms are really solid. So that's why you would have a blast valve in there. I'm bringing these to America so people who want a bomb shelter but they can't afford a $20, $40, $60, $100,000 bomb shelter, the minimal thing they can do to protect themselves is take a room, cover it in plastic with construction plastic and duct tape, and have one of these air systems on the wall in a bathroom, in a guest bedroom, wherever they want for under $3,000, and they have protection for around 7 days. And what's inside there is about 20 pounds of tetracarbon, which this is what's protecting you, and this has a lifespan of over 25 years. On the other side of the room, you would have what's called an overpressure blast valve. So when the room is airtight, there's a little fan in here and it will start spinning. That will tell you that the room is airtight. If, for any reason, you lost power because this is either AC or DC, you can have what's called a manual pump. And the way it works is, there's an attachment that would come down, you would screw it to the wall, and you would actually have a bellow that you would sit there and pull out like that. And everything is encased in a box inside this. So I made several trips over to the Middle East to acquire the rights to bring this to America because they were not exporting it, but I bought thousands of them. They'll be coming in. This is the air system that's going to be in the precast bunker that I've been advertising for $20,000. These are good for 4 to 6 people in a room up to 150 square feet. When you go to countries where bunkers are common, it's like breathing air there. I mean, Switzerland, Finland, Israel, Sweden, Norway. Just so many countries that having a bunker is like having a garage and a house. It's no big deal. It's just how things are. Having a place to go makes you feel secure. And the fact that more people in America are not demanding their builder, when they build a house, make me a 10-foot by 10-foot solid concrete room with one of these gas-tight doors from Atlas and one of these air systems, they're going to spend $5,000 on a door and an air system, and they're going to have a safe room that could work for fallout, for tornadoes, for gunfire, for all kinds of things. It makes no sense not to have one.
I like the idea of calling it a safe room because I think the word bunker has a stigma to it. You know, people love safe spaces nowadays, right?
With the wars in Israel, with the wars in Ukraine, the wars are going to be popping up everywhere else. You know, I mean, this is the world we live in, so get used to it, guys. It's going to be the new normal.
All right, well, I look forward to breaking ground on this project and doing videos from a bunker. It's been a long time coming, but here we are. All right, man, thanks for coming out. This weather is getting crazy. We got to get back in the truck. I look forward to starting work on this bunker. Let's get to it.
Let's do it, bud.
All right.
The best way to support this channel is to support yourself by gearing up at CanadianPreparedness.com, where you'll find high-quality survival gear at the best prices, no junk, and no gimmicks. Use discount code PREPPINGGEAR for 10% off. Don't forget, the strong survive, but the prepared thrive. Stay safe.